Call the meeting to order. Before we begin, we do want to acknowledge a special guest we have with us this evening, former chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission, Mr. Marty Ross. Hey, Marty. All right, then, our first item is the approval of the agenda. Any changes to the agenda?
There are no proposed changes to the agenda.
I make a motion to accept the agenda.
I second it.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is the approval of the minutes of the August 23rd, 2018 meeting. Any changes or corrections, anyone?
You inherit, they would be as submitted.
Yep, they are. In fact, I just complimented him on how well they were done.
Right there.
I make a motion to approve the minutes of August 23rd.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the August 23rd, 2018 meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is old business. Our first item is subdivision 2018-13 Anchors Run Insight Development Company, LLC.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I have a couple questions about it, and hopefully we could get some discussion coming out of this.
Okay.
In this community, they want to put two roundabouts for the sake of a north and a south one. The north one was close to a gentleman's driveway, and the south one was, you got Hopkins Road or whatever it wrote, the two
Stokely
roads.
Road.
Stokely Road. The other roundabout looks like it cuts into that lot pretty significantly that's at the corner of Stokely Road and Beaver Dam. But if you look at the plan, does anybody have any comments about that? It looks like it cuts pretty significant. The northeast corner of that circle looks like it cuts pretty heavily into that piece of land. But where do we stand on that? I mean, I know we give eminent domain and all that kind of stuff, but...
Well, we don't have eminent domain.
I mean, the Del Dot.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
But I'm...
I'm also concerned about the proximity of the two. I think that, I don't know, and I know that we had the lady here that did the study, but it just seems to me like they're so close that I don't know that there's going to be a real advantage for the people traveling on that.
What is the concern about it is where they're located? Are you thinking?
Well, Mr. Wheatley, you might have to pull that mic closer.
I'm sorry.
Are you thinking that you might need to see it relocated or?
Well, I don't know because there's a corner lot right there at Beaver Dam and Stokely Road. And if you look at the northeast corner of that roundabout, it cuts into that lot pretty significantly,
right,
on that plot drawing that they gave us. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm just curious because there was nobody talked that spoke about that one lot. And the more I looked into it after the hearing.
Right. The issue that we're faced with, we meaning the county collectively, is that the road designs and intersection designs and everything else, that's the total purview of DelDOT.
Yes.
I guess it comes into play that we take into account, the effect on area roadways and traffic. I don't know that we necessarily can take into account intersection design in approving or denying an application. And the other thing is, the initial reaction might be to say, we don't want roundabouts, or, you have to move the entrance 100 feet one way or the other. But the concern always is on that is that you really box in the applicant if you're inclined to approve it, because then they could get jammed up with the county saying you got to do it this way and DelDOT saying you got to do it that way, and you can't end up doing either in that situation, and it just creates a real problem.
I don't think I'm stuck either way or the other, but I just want to make sure that people are treated fairly, and I'm not against roundabouts at all.
Well, are you sure, because I thought I asked that question. Are you sure they're encroaching on the other people's property, or are they moving that road to the south?
Well, I'm looking at
Beaver Dam.
I'm looking at that drawing specifically, and if you look at the northeast corner of that roundabout, it definitely falls into that lot there, that corner lot, and it's a different parcel and all that kind of stuff.
The one at Stokely,
yes.
Yeah, he's talking about the other one. I think that.
Okay. I'm talking about the one across.
Yeah,
the
I think the one at the top.
It's across.
Like pulled it in more, so it wasn't on those.
Exactly.
Right. So we didn't cover that with the guys.
I looked at it real closely after the hearing, a little more closely after the hearing, and I could see that it definitely does that, and I just don't know the.
All right. just to play devil's advocate on this, or could we say that the roundabouts can't, that they have to be on property that they own, or the roadway that's already there, so that it doesn't go into someone else's property because they're building a new development?
Yeah, I mean, you could require them, I don't want to say with 100% certainty here tonight, but I think what you're saying is make it a condition that if there's any additional roadway dedication needed for those roundabouts, it has to occur on the applicant's property.
Yes, that's what I was asking. That's what I was asking, yeah.
Okay.
So. You know, I don't know that we've ever considered it before, but I'd have to give that some thought.
All right.
You know. There wouldn't be anything that I see necessarily prohibits us from doing that because it's all on the developer's property.
I think we've done that. I think we have made that suggestion before.
Yeah. We already have a right of way. I wish we would have asked them. They might have a right of way because that's where that drainage line is also going, isn't it, or isn't it?
I think it already does go there, doesn't it? I think it's already there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they were just changing the...
Or the force main or something.
Width of it or something. So.
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, it sounds like they're going to do great things as far as clearing out the, for no better reason, swamp there with the water, but...
that and the sewer and septic situation, I think, is a good, real good deal. But anyway, at this point, I would move for deferral.
And I could certainly give that, if that's the reason for or one of the reasons for deferral, it sounds like you all want maybe some more time to look at the record, but I can come back with a legal opinion on that about requiring them to have any roadway improvements that don't require takings of other people's land on the opposite side of Beaver Dam Road. However, you know, I think I worded that right. But
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I think a deferral might be in order just to give everyone a chance to think about this a little bit. Now, of course, there is such a thing as that if that property owner agrees and is compensated and is
right.
happy with what they're receiving, we would not want to prohibit them from doing that.
But we didn't hear any of that, right? I did miss something.
Yeah, I don't recall that being in the record one way or the other.
Yeah, I don't either. Okay.
And I would have, part of what I'd look at too is just, and staff, is just go back and look at that preliminary site plan to see exactly what it showed, if it showed anything as far as where those roundabouts, because that could have just been sort of conceptually drawn based on DLDOT's, at this point, they're only looking at an initial review anyway, so it might not have been finalized as to the location of it or whether it actually encroaches on somebody's property or whatever.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Yeah. Fair enough.
All right. Well, at this time, I move for deferral.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2018-13, Anchors Run Insight Development Company, LLC, to give our council time to research the points discussed. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. The next item is conditional use number 2143, Tri-Gas and Oil Company, Incorporated.
Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval of CU 2143 for Tri-Gas and Oil for petroleum fuel storage and office facility in a C1 general commercial district based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this is an expansion of conditional use 1080 approved as ordinance 978 in 1994 for a propane storage facility with frontage on US 113. A propane storage facility has existed on that site since that time. Two, this site is an appropriate location for additional fuel storage facilities and office for that use. Three, this site is in a highway commercial and developing area according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. Both of these areas are appropriate for this type of use. Four, the expansion of this use will not adversely affect the neighborhood or area roadways or traffic. Five, the use as a fuel storage facility is a utility use that will benefit the health, safety, and welfare of Sussex County and its residents and businesses. Six, no parties appeared in opposition to this application. The adjacent property owner has stated his support for the application. Seven, because this conditional use is the expansion of an existing conditional use that had no conditions imposed upon it, and because the underlying property is zoned C1, very few conditions should be imposed upon this recommendation. The recommended conditions are as follows. A, as stated by the applicant, the operational area behind the offices, the office building, shall be fenced for security purposes. B, the there shall be 13 parking spaces for customers and 9 parking spaces for employees. C, as stated by the applicant, there's currently lighting on the property. Additional lighting may be added for security purposes. Any additional lighting shall be downward screened so that it does not shine upon neighboring properties or roadways. D, because the property is zoned C1, general commercial, any signage shall comply with the sign requirements for the C1 district. E, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
I second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2143, Tri-Gas and Oil Company Incorporated, for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. The next item is conditional use number 2152, Charles Almond.
Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval of conditional use 2152 for Charles Almond to amend condition number 4 of conditional use 1771 and ordinance 2056 to allow an electronic message display sign based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. 1. Condition number 4 currently states that one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet in size shall be permitted. The proposed sign location shall be shown on the final site plan. 2. Section 115-161.1 of the zoning code states that on premises electronic message displays can only be allowed in the AR1 zone if specifically permitted as part of a conditional use. This is the reason that the applicant is seeking an amendment to his conditional use to allow the electronic message display. 3. The applicant explained that the electronic message display is needed to advertise the services of the storage facility that was approved by the conditional use for the property. 4. The applicant stated that he understands that the zoning code governs brightness, animation, and other factors regarding how the sign will be operated so that it will not have an adverse effect on neighboring properties or roadways. 5. No parties appeared in opposition to the requested sign. 6. Condition number 4 of conditional use 1771 and ordinance 2056 should be amended to state one electronic message center sign not to exceed 32 square feet in size shall be permitted. The proposed sign location shall be shown on the final site plan. Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
I have one question before we do that. Under number 4, where it says the zoning code governs brightness animation, could we add, I would prefer that it not have animation after dark, and that it not have a bright white background, or is the brightness of a white background considered already in the code?
That's already considered, because okay, there's specific details, you know, in terms of brightness, and it, whether it's white or yellow or whatever.
Okay,
so
I've been blinded by these signs recently. So, all right, that would, Mr. Hopkins, would you consider adding no animation after dark?
Is that good with everybody?
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2152, Charles Almond, for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is change of zone number 1857, Elizabeth Ann Burkhart.
Mr. Chairman, on this one, I just had wanted to have a little discussion with the group. I'm not opposed to the B2 business community district, but in this case specifically, I wanted to get the commission's thoughts on this, because all the other businesses on Savannah Road now are conditional uses in AR. And one of the things that has, that the residents of that area have said they want, is that it maintain a residential feel, even though the roads, or most of the places along there, are becoming businesses. So with that being said, how should, you know, what are your thoughts, everybody? Because B2 would certainly fit in this area based on the business that they have on
the street. If they maintain the structure the way that it is now, but if they've changed It really could change the whole appearance of what that road is showing now.
Right. And of course, as again, this is a change of zone.
Right.
So we really can't set any limitations or restrictions on what happens. Once it's approved as a B2, then anything that's allowed in B2 can go there.
And I mean, in most instances, I think I would probably agree with B2, but just not in this one. So I'm going to make a motion that, you know, to deny the rezoning of conditional use number 1857 of Liz Ann Burkhart because of the other area, how the other area is already developed. Does that make sense? Or
I think you need to be a little more clear.
Because all other businesses are operating under a conditional use and have maintained the residential, most of them have maintained the residential feel of that street, and that is one of the things that has been requested and pursued on Savannah Road.
And my only change on that would be that it would be a majority of the other ones, because depending on
majority,
where you,
yes, there were some that were built after, you know, they were just open lots.
Right, and there is a, particularly on the ends of it, there's some different zonings, but there's B1 scattered here and there.
In that area where it is,
pretty much all conditional uses right there.
All conditional uses, and they're most of them houses, people's that have been
converted. Because that's true. Just I would say the commission has. I wouldn't say it's uniformly, but certainly in a good number of those required as part of the conditional uses that they maintain their residential appearance.
It's interesting because in the you make a valid point about this particular street.
This particular street, yes.
And, you know, reflecting on it, I think there's some merit. There is merit to what you're saying. I know we've done this in the past when we have rethought something on the fly, so to speak, and we have denied things, but recommended that the applicant bring the application back in some other form, and in some instances we have even offered to waive.
I would be happy to waive the fee if the person wanted to come. The applicant wanted to come back.
Because, interestingly enough, this is what part of this zoning was designed to accommodate, but we have this very unique situation on Savannah Road where there have been so many conditional uses, and many of them have this condition that they maintain the residential look and feel. And I think because of that, there have been rezoning applications that have been denied on Savannah Road because of that. So this may be an instance where that's appropriate. Now I'm just one commissioner.
I agree. I didn't know. I should have asked if it would be appropriate to do that. But yes, I would encourage the applicant to reapply. And if the applicant wanted to come back with a different application, I would recommend that we waive the fee.
I agree with that.
Are you going to make it?
Is that your motion?
Yes, my motion, yes.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to deny change of zone number 1857, Elizabeth Ann Burkhart, with the recommendation from the commission that a conditional use application be considered, and if such an application is considered, the commission will waive the fee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Is that expedited? Is that expedited? Can they get that in quicker?
That's Mr. Hopkins. You just asked a valid question. Is there a way that this could be?
Yeah, my question was: could that be? Could
well,
because of this? Can it be expedited, or is it just?
It still has to go to the county council.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so.
This will have to go to county council. Now, the applicant does have the right to withdraw the application and just start over right now if they wanted to. Is that a fair statement, Mr. Robertson?
Absolutely, yeah, because it would be a different application.
And it would be a different application. That way it doesn't have to go to county council. They can simply withdraw this application, make another one, and while we can't necessarily grant expedited status, we can certainly encourage the staff to expedite it as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I mean, and keep in mind, and I...
They're still advertising, they're still all the things, you're still going to have to do the same things. I know it'll be a delay, but I think it will be a better situation for everyone and a more consistent situation for Savannah Road, and the folks who have an interest on Savannah Road won't feel as though we have changed the rules of the game while the game's still being played.
That was, yes, I agree, thank you.
That being said, thank you. We'll proceed. Ladies and gentlemen, we reached the point in our public hearing, or in our meeting, where it's time for our public hearings.
That's true. Mr. Chairman, did you vote on that last one? There was a motion and a second.
Well, did I not call for the vote?
I think you discussed it.
I'm sorry.
I think it was all done when I didn't pay for it.
All right, so I made the motion.
That's what I thought was soon as I said.
I messed your rhythm up.
Right on the heels of.
Okay, because that's why I just.
Well, if there's any doubt, let's go back and call for the vote again. It's been moved and seconded to approve or to deny conditional or change of zone number 1857, Elizabeth Ann Burkhart. With the suggestion from the commission that it be brought back as a conditional use application, and if the applicant chooses to do that, the commission will waive the application fee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Okay, thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to for our public hearings, and we thank you for being here with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. Let me assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on an application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in conformance with the rules of the commission. Speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time of the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the direction of the chairman. Also, if you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that they identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come up to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. Also, during these proceedings, Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. During the proceedings, no direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted, and any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. An individual supporting or opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir.